Thanks for being with us on this Friday Takeaway. It's great to have you. I'm Todd Zwillick. Black Panther hit theaters last Friday and since then has morphed into a full-blown vibranium-powered cultural sensation.
Hey, look at your suit. You've been taking bullets, charging it up with kinetic energy.
Put around the truck.
Black Panther has blown past expectations. It broke box office records, earning over $420 million in 4 days, the fifth highest opening weekend gross in film history, and in the company of box office smashes like Star Wars and Avengers. Now, unlike past Marvel releases, though, Black Panther features an African-American lead and a predominantly black cast, and of course, African-American director Ryan Coogler. Businesses, church groups, even celebrities are joining in on the film's outpouring of black positivity, and they've rushed to buy tickets.
I knew it was an opportunity to pull from real things, real achievements, real African culture, and place it in this movie to make it real. That's what the opportunity is in this movie. So if anybody believes, you know, that Africa didn't have empire, didn't have architecture, didn't have art, didn't have science, you see it in this movie.
That's Chadwick Boseman, the star of Black Panther. It's the biggest movie from a black director and a black lead actor ever on the American scene. Here to talk about the cultural phenomenon is Dr. Jonathan Gray, professor of English at John Jay College and the CUNY Graduate Center in New York. And he's working on his second book, Illustrating the Race. It examines a representation of African Americans in comics from 1966 to the age of President Barack Obama. Dr. Jonathan Gray, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to talk about the phenomenon of Black Panther in American culture, at the box office, and everywhere else. But first of all, can I get a chance just to talk about this movie with you a little bit before we get going, kind of whet the appetite?
Yeah, it'd be a pleasure.
For all the reasons that Black Panther has been successful, this is, to me, an extraordinary superhero film.
I think T'Challa is a child of lineage and a child of privilege. We sort of get the best of both worlds when it comes to that. He's sure of his place in the world, in part because Wakanda has never been colonized, in part because it is this flourishing ethical society. So he is not full of self-doubt, which would seem to maybe make him a flat character, but actually it provides sort of a rich moral core that makes him appealing.
That's the world of Wakanda in the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
Let's talk about the real world and the role of this movie that it's had in the couple of weeks since it's come out. The hashtag Black Panther Challenge has raised thousands of dollars. I don't even know, hundreds of thousands of dollars at this point to send kids to see this movie. Mm-hmm. What's going on here?
Well, I mean, I think at a basic level, everyone understands that representation matters, right? That's part of the reason why on the right wing, you have people complaining whenever something is changed. It's like, oh, well, you know, you're a social justice warrior. It's like, no, what you're actually saying is that representation matters. And so that's sort of a negative spin on it. But the Black Panther Challenge is a positive spin on that, right? Representation matters. Therefore, let's get as many kids to see this movie as possible. I think for an entire generation, this is going to be their Star Wars. Right. I mean, there are dozens of people, hundreds of people working in Hollywood today who saw Star Wars and said, oh, my God, this is possible. Right. And so I think that that's part of the hope that, you know, a generation can see this film and, you know, hey, another world is possible. And you can't change the world without being able to imagine a different world. Wakanda is a tremendous act of the imagination. It's an act of collective imagination, you know, building on Jack Kirby, Stan Lee, Christopher Priest, Reginald Hudlin, Ta-Nehisi Coates. All of these creators put their vision into the film, and Ryan Coogler does a great job of sort of building out that world. And it's like, well, hey, let's get as many people to see this possible world as possible, and I think it's great.
Films have been chipping away at the idea that black films, especially black films that have their diversity out in front, can't be financially successful.
Right.
Black Panther has shattered that. Certainly Get Out shattered that.
Right.
No question. Other black films have been successful, but this is a different level. What's going on in American entertainment in Hollywood right now, do you think?
So I think one of the things, obviously, is that this is the 18th film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, right? And so Marvel has it down to a science in terms of how to roll their films out across the world. But to your larger point, I think it's important that in the last, you know, year and a half, four of the biggest movies, Girls Trip, the comedy, Get Out, also Black Panther, and looking forward a little bit, Ava DuVernay's Wrinkle in Time, that these movies all feature, you know, talented Black directors. Where I think before, you had Black talent in front of the camera. So you had a Denzel, you had a Will Smith. Now, the people who are sort of getting the credit are the creators themselves. And so I think that that's the important shift here. It's like, oh, well, let's give this money to Ava DuVernay and let her build her world. Let's give this money to Jordan Peele and let him build his world. And that's, I think, really significant.
You might argue that Black Panther wouldn't have been such a gigantic hit if it had come out 3 years ago, that this moment, mm-hmm. this political moment in America mm-hmm. is part of what drives up the cultural demand for this kind of art. Talk about that.
I mean, yeah, comics and film always reflect on the current political situation. The first issue of Captain America has Cap punching Hitler in the face, right? So punching Nazis has always been a thing in comics, despite what some people might tell you. So, I mean, Captain America is not a hit if he doesn't debut with this sort of shocking image on the cover. Wonder Woman wouldn't have been a hit if it wasn't for a certain pent-up demand as well. I mean, I think these are successful movies no matter when they're released. But I think that, sure, they are responding to the cultural zeitgeist and the time. And I also think that this is nothing new. I think that in some ways, Star Wars, for example, coming out in the wake of Watergate, you know, was part of the reason people wanted to escape into a different world because they were sort of disillusioned with this one. And I think that that, you know, ties in here as well. There's almost too much news. I don't know how you do your job these days, right? And so it's like, hey, let's get away from that. Let's get to a world where people are moral and ethical, where women are treated with respect, right? Where women in STEM are celebrated and not, you know, the subject of some rant at Google, right? I mean, so I think that there are a lot of threads that come together to give this movie the momentum that it currently enjoys.
Jonathan Gray, I want to thank you not only for coming in to talk to me, but also for writing about this film as well. It's made an enormous difference.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Dr. Jonathan Gray, professor of English at John Jay College in New York.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.